I'm gonna bring this up here. I need some place to stick my water, and I don't want to put it on the ground because I was doing some yard work yesterday, and if I bend, I may not be able to stand up. So, I'm water right there. All right. We're continuing our series looking at our new vision statement for the church, and we're talking about grow and what that means. Put it on the screen. I'm gonna have that put up on the screen. I want us to read it together. All right. We have the mission statement there. If not, I can just read it. All right, here we go. Our mission is to connect people in relationship with God and with one another, equip them to grow as followers of Christ on this journey of faith, and serve others through Christ's love. I'm going to say that again. Our mission is to connect people in relationship with God and with one another, equip them to grow as followers of Christ on this journey of faith, and serve others through Christ's love. And the key points of that are connect, grow, and serve. Tim mentioned it a little while ago. And last week, Pastor Fred spoke on connecting and the importance of our relationship with God first and foremost, and then also our relationship with one another. God has not called us to be Lone Ranger Christians. We need one another. We talked about the importance of our connect groups, also known as small groups. We're calling them connect groups with intention, because what we want. That's the connection with one another. We need that. We need one another. And today we're going to be talking about grow. Before I get into that, I'm going to invite Claire to come on up. And I want to introduce someone to you. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to meet CJ yet or not, but he is a cutie. Claire, I'm going to hand that to you. All right, this is CJ. He's, what, just over 3 weeks old? Is that correct? He is a cutie. I don't know if you can see him. I think he's sleeping, so I don't want to disturb him. But he is just an absolute cutie. How are things going, Claire? Is he sleeping? What's he doing?
No.
No. So that means you're not sleeping either,
right? That's right. Right?
He sleeps. Come on up, Jenna. Oh. Got another visitor. Come on. Hey, can I hold you? No, not going to let me. All right, that's all right. Oh, see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for the visit. See, we're connecting. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. So, you're not sleeping much?
No, about 2 hours at a time right now. That's
this
okay.
This too shall pass. I want you to know. This
keep saying
pass.
That over and over.
He is adorable. If you haven't had the chance to meet him yet, he is absolutely adorable. So, tell me, he's a few weeks old. How's school going? Does he have a lot of homework? Is he liking his teacher? You know, how's that going?
He's a baby. He does not go to school. He's too little.
What?
He's no teacher.
Okay, well, what about sports? Is he playing any sports? Baseball, soccer? Because a lot of kids play soccer. Little kids play soccer. Football's my favorite, but you know he's got some time. But is he playing sports? Is he?
No, he's a baby. not playing any sports.
Okay. Well, you know, Charles is very handy. I mean, he's construction and mechanic. I mean, he's a jack of all trades. He's helped me out. I know he's helped others out. Is he having the chance to teach CJ all these skills and stuff, how to drywall and how to fix brakes and all that kind of stuff?
No, he's a baby.
Yeah, baby, more like slacker. I mean, you know, I don't know. So what does he do?
He sleeps and has blowout diapers.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's CJ. Let's give CJ a big round of applause. Thank you, Clara. Thank you. All right, man, not going to school, not playing sport. Now, obviously, that is a very stupid question I just asked her, right? CJ's a baby. He's like 3 weeks old. Of course he's not going to school. Of course he's not playing sports. Of course, you know, he's sleeping, he's eating, and blowing out diapers. You know, that's what three-week babies do, right? That's normal. Zach, stand up. Now, Zach is a little over 3 weeks old. How old are you, Zach? How old are you? He's 15. Now, that's hard to believe, right? You look at him and think, oh, he's 25. No, he's 15. Now, Zach, this may sound good to you, but you're doing a little bit more than just sleeping and blowing out diapers and, you know, eating, right? Sounds like a pretty good lifestyle, but you're beyond that, right? School, you got sports and all that. Okay, you have a seat. Thank you. You know, if Zach would have stood up and said, yeah, that's all I'm doing too, you know, I just sleep all day, you know, we would think, okay, there's a problem. You know, Zach may like that. It may sound appealing, But there's a problem because growth is required, right? Growth is a requirement. And when a baby's born, they only do those things because that's all they're supposed to do. That's all they're designed to do at this point. But as you grow, you mature, you develop socially, physically, emotionally, developmentally, you know, all those things. And also spiritually, we are to grow up spiritually. If those things are true, if growth is a requirement for us in all those other ways, then we have to know that growth is also required of us spiritually. And we can look to God's word and see evidence of this. We are to grow. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Matthew 21. We're going to read through a few verses here, a few passages, different passages. They will be up on the screen if you want to follow along. But let's look at these different passages that talk about growth and what is required. So Matthew 21, 18, 19 says this. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again," and immediately the tree withered. Luke 3, 9. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Or how about John chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away. It withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So through those verses, we see that growth is a requirement. It is true of us in every part of our lives, including spiritually. And so the next logical question is, if we will all agree that growth is a requirement, well, how do we grow spiritually? And I'm glad you asked. This morning, I'm going to look at Acts chapter 2, this passage that we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. And in this, we see how the early church grew. The early church, Acts chapter 2 church, they saw, 3,000 people come to know Christ one day, and it says that they were added to their number daily. This was a growing church. And we want to emulate that. We want to follow that. We want to follow that example. And we want to grow. And so let's look to them and see what they did. We've been talking about this, like I said, the last few weeks. But let's continue looking at this. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. It reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Okay, so God is doing a mighty thing in this early church, this Acts chapter 2 church. He's doing great things. They are growing. So we got to look at their example. What were they doing to grow? Well, we've talked about a couple of these already. They've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. We've put them in I statements. Instruction, involvement. Pastor Fred preached on involvement last week, connecting. Then also influence and investment. These were the things that the early church devoted themselves to. Today we're going to look at instruction. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we must be willing to do the same. If we are going to grow as Christians, which is a requirement, then we need to also devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. The apostle Peter. That day he preached, 3,000 people were added. Later in 1 Peter chapter 2, he talks about what it means to grow and what we have to do to grow. So I also want to look at this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2. It'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along. But verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, read. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Peter is writing to Christians here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he's talking about how they have been saved, how they have been born by God's word, and how they have come to know him, and they have a relationship with him. And then now here in chapter 2, he's issuing a challenge to the believers. And again, he's speaking to believers here. He's not speaking to those that don't know Christ. And he issues this challenge in 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, and he's saying, therefore, because you've been born again by the power of God, therefore, because you've been made a new person, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. That's what God wants for us. And therefore, because the word of God is eternal, therefore, rid yourselves of these things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. He goes on to say, crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That's the growth that's required. How many of you have ever been told to grow up? Anybody? I have been lots of times, usually by my wife. You know, we've been told to grow. That is a requirement. Growth is a requirement, and it's true of us spiritually. So Peter issues a couple of demands here in this passage that I want us to look at. He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to those who are followers of Christ. He's talking to believers. And the two commands he gives us are to spurn and yearn. Spurn and yearn. Spurn means to put off, to take off, to put aside, to get rid of. And then he goes on and he tells us, this is not an exhaustive list of things that we are supposed to get rid of in our lives, but he touches on a few of them. And he says, the first one he says is malice. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice. As believers, we are put off malice. Now, what in the world does malice mean, right? It means wickedness. And again, it's a general term. Anything that is not right with God, that separates us from God, anything that is a barrier between us and our relationship with God. He's saying, get rid of it, whatever it may be, get rid of it. Get rid of all forms of wickedness in our lives. That is what he wants for us. That's what God wants for us. And so the question is, are we living like God wants us to? Are we putting off wickedness? Or do we look more like the rest of the world? You know, and Sunday morning, you're here, right? You're about part of the 17% or so on Sunday morning in America, they attend church. But what about Monday through Saturday? You know, what do our lives look like? We have to be honest with ourselves. We need to examine to see if there's wickedness in our life. Is there a difference? Because we're called to be different. Again, that 2 Corinthians verse from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if it's in Christ, they are a new creation. There's supposed to be something new. There's supposed to be something different about us. And so we have to examine our hearts and see, are we just like the rest of the world, or is there something really truly different about us? Are we living lives in seriously? Do we live lives that seek to honor Jesus above all else? Do we turn away from wickedness and strive to live a holy life and live for him? And then he goes on, like I said, it's not an exhaustive list, but he does list several other things in particular. He says deceit. Deceit is just simply pulling the wool over someone, you know, lying to someone, something for your own gain, you know, lacking integrity. He tells us not to be full of deceit. We're put off deceit. We're put off hypocrisy. We all know what hypocrisy is, right? Going through the motions. Going so you can, you know, appease your spouse, or you go to church to make your parents happy, or whatever it may be. But hypocrisy is when you act one way, but you live a totally different way. He's telling us, get rid of that. We're put off envy, you know, wanting and envy in what other people have. And think about, well, how could I get that? Or in ways that are dishonest or what God wants. To put off slander. Now, slander, I started going to church when I was a teenager. And in our youth group, I remember talking about this. I didn't grow up in the church like I started going as a teenager. But I remember back in that day, in those days when I was a teen, our youth pastor talking a lot about this, the word gossip, right? Slander seems a lot more, I don't know, a little fancier, a little cleaner, but gossip, good old-fashioned gossip, right? And what gossip is just talking badly about other people behind their back, you know, in a way that talks them down, in a way that insults them or casts them in a bad light. And now, as Christians, because we're human, we have a tendency to do this, we try to find the loophole, right? And so we dress up and we call it a prayer request, right? Ever have anybody come to you? Oh, I need you to pray for so-and-so. Now listen, we should pray for one another. I'm not saying that. We shouldn't. You know, we need praying up for one another. Pastor Fred this morning in pastoral prayer lifted up several people and families who are going through tough times. We need to be praying for them. But what some people do, like, well, hey, we need to pray for so-and-so. Did you hear what they did? And, you know, and then it becomes gossip. It's just a way of trying to, you know, put lipstick on a pig, you know. They're just trying to make it sound holy, you know, request. Well, we have to be very careful. Because you know what? Gossip will destroy a church. If we're talking about people behind their back, if we talk down about others, then God's not going to be glorified in that. And God is not going to bless that. We need to be careful how we love one another and we speak of one another. Yeah, we need to pray for one another, but we have to make sure that we're not gossiping. So Peter tells us in this passage, we're to put off wickedness, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and gossip. We have to cast an old piece of clothing. We just need to take it off. Get rid of those things in our life that separate us from God, those things that hold us back from truly living for God with everything that we have. Because when that permeates, those things permeate a congregation, God is not pleased. And God will not grow his church in that kind of environment. We need to search our own hearts. We need to cast off any kind of wickedness there might be. You know, when I was in Washington, D.C., we lived in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., back around 2000. And there was a young, I was a youth pastor at this church, and there was a young couple that started coming, a real nice couple. And they asked me to come over. The husband wanted to have some counseling and wanted to talk with me, some spiritual counseling. And so I went over to their apartment. I went in, I sat down. It was January, it's cold. I've got this big parka like type jacket on. And I sit down on the couch and we begin to have this conversation, me and this husband. And we talked for a little while, sitting there talking. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye, my lap, I've have a new friend, a cockroach about that big is like crawling across my lap. I did not think for a second. I just reacted. I just flicked it off my leg just as fast as I could. It goes flying across the room. The guy was mortified. I mean, you can imagine, right? You invite the pastor over and you're sitting there and the cockroach crawls out. You know, he was absolutely so embarrassed. I felt bad for him, you know? And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he was so embarrassed. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. Now this, I'm telling you, this speaks to the power of God. Because inside, I mean, my hairs are on the end, you know. I mean, I'm just feeling like, you know, creepy crawly all over. Now I'm just imagining thousands of cockroaches, you know, and I'm just like, oh. And it's just freaking me out. But I was so calm. And I was just like, yeah, well, don't worry about it, you know. And I just sat there nice and calm. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you. And we have this conversation. And we continue having this conversation and we talk, and finally, you know, we come to the end, and I'm like, I stand up, and I shake his hand, and he apologizes again. He was so embarrassed. I really felt bad for him. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, you know. And so we shake hands. I walk out the door. It's January. It's cold. I'm wearing this big parka. And so I walk out, and I walk down the sidewalk. They live in this apartment complex. And then there's another sidewalk that goes, and it goes to the parking lot. So I walk down there. And then in between their apartment building and the parking lot was another building. And so I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. See, when I get out of range, when that building blocks their apartment, I know that I'm out of eyesight and they can no longer see me. And as soon as I reach that point, man, I take that parka off, I throw it down, I'm like, you know, I pick up the jacket, I'm shaking it. I'm thinking, Roxanne does not want me to bring any of these friends home with me, you know. And so, I mean, again, it's January, it's cold, there's snow on the ground, and I'm just, oh, you know, creepy crawling out, you know, just freaking out. And that is what God wants us to do with wickedness. He wants us to get rid of it like that. I mean, just as fast as we can. We get too comfortable, I think, sometimes with wickedness. And what Peter's writing about, what God is calling us to, he wants us to get rid of that just as fast as we can. He wants us to throw that off and walk away into life of holiness with him. That's what God wants for us. Let's not be too comfortable with wickedness. Excuse me, I lost my voice a little bit Friday night cheering at the Glenwood SHC game and maybe yelling at the TV once or twice last night during the Michigan game, so I apologize. So that's the first thing that Peter wants us to do. He wants us to spurn those things, to get rid of, to cast off any form of wickedness in our life, anything that holds us back from serving and living for God with all that we have. The second thing is then to yearn. Yearn means to long for, to crave. He says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As believers, he wants us to yearn for him. The word translated long for is the same word found in Psalm 42:1, which many of you will recognize. As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants after thee. This is what God wants from us, from the believers. He wants us to spurn wickedness, but he also wants us to yearn for more of him in our lives, to grow closer, to have an intimate relationship with him. Sometimes we settle being acquaintances with God, and that is not all what God wants. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. So this morning, I just ask you, do you long for more of God? Do you long to know him better? Are you yearning for him? Are you yearning to grow closer to him? Are you devoted to the apostles' teaching, to God's word? Are you devoted to spiritual growth? Again, growth is a requirement. And it's a challenge for us. We have so many things going on in lives. You know, we're pulled in different directions. There's different things vying for our attention, our passion, our money, our time, everything. We are pulled all over, pulled in so many directions. But we have to make this a part of our lives. Not because you have to, but because this is what God desires for us, that we would yearn for him, more of him. Peter says, to grow, we must long for the presence of the Lord in his word. This morning, I just want to ask you, this is between you and God. Is there a yearning in your soul for more of him? Is there a yearning in your soul for more of God? If not, I just want to be honest with you this morning. That's a dangerous place to be in. That's when we get cozy with wickedness, and that's when we get indifferent with God. We need to yearn for more of him. God wants us to deliver us from the Sunday morning only. You know, weeks ago I preached about we're not called to just attend church. And God wants to break us free from that, this spectator mentality about the faith. We are to serve him and to love him. And I know this is hard, again, but we need to look at this. We need to be honest with ourselves. I need to be honest with myself. God has spoken to me this week as I prepared this message. Things in my life I need to address. With help, I will. But this is what we need to do. There's so much indifference and lukewarmness in the church today. You know, a couple weeks ago, again, when I preached, I talked about statistics about how only 20% of churches in America are growing. But of those 20%, only 95% of the growth is happening. 20% just people transferring from one church to another. Only 1% of churches in America are reaching unbelievers. There's so much indifference. There's so much lukewarmness. We need to counteract that. We need to be different. We need to live that out. And I know, again, this is hard. But here's the great news. You don't have to do it alone. God never calls us. He never leads us to our own devices. Amen. And that's what Pastor Fred talked about last week, the connecting. When we connect with God, he gives us the Holy Spirit. We don't have to face anything alone because we have the Spirit of God within us, as believers. Again, I'm speaking to believers this morning. We have the power of God in our lives. We don't have to face it alone. But even beyond that, we're connected with one another. God calls us to be connected with one another. Because there are some times I need you. And there are times you need me. We need each other. Sometimes you just need to call someone and vent. Or sometimes you just need to say, you know, I'm really struggling. Would you pray for me? So we need to have that connection, first with God, but also with one another. God calls us to be a congregation that loves one another, to be family, to bear each other's burdens. We need to have that connection. Part of the new vision statement, and you know, we're planning on making some changes. You've heard a little bit about it. Man, and all this is designed to do is to help us as a church fulfill God's calling for us, to fulfill the mission that God has given us. You've heard the new vision statement. Again, we don't expect you to memorize all of that, but the key points, connect, grow, and serve, that's what we're about. We really believe that's what God has called us to do and to be. And we want to do that. So we're looking at maybe potentially redoing the foyer, kind of giving it a refresh. Can I tell you, the whole point of that is to make visitors feel welcome and comfortable. That's it. That's what we want to do. The vision for that is to help people feel more comfortable. You know, if you lived in a little shack, and you know, you probably wouldn't feel real comfortable about inviting people over. But if you lived in this big mansion with open floor plan, you'd be like, yeah, come on over. We want to make the place inviting, more inviting. You know, it's just dark and it's cramped out there. And so our vision is to do that. So just to make it more inviting for visitors. Now, again, this is for visitors. We want to make it feel more comfortable and bigger and have more space to talk and interact. You ever try to come back from Sunday school and we've got the awesome ministry with the muffins and the coffee, and that's awesome. But man, it creates a bottleneck right there. We need some space to deal with that. We want people to be able to feel comfortable visiting with one another. You know, again, we need those times of connection. And so the whole point of that, again, is to help visitors feel more welcome. Can I tell you this? There is no wrong reason for an unbeliever to come to church. I don't believe there's such thing as a wrong reason for an unbeliever to come to church. For believers, yeah, we need to come with the right intentions. We talked a little bit about that a couple weeks ago. You know, a ship mentality, right? We're not come to be served and entertained, but we come to serve, and we come to be a part of the family. But for unbelievers, there is no wrong reason to come to church. And if they walk into a foyer and it's welcome and inviting, and that helps them make a decision to come to church there, then it's worth every penny. When I was a teenager, I told you, I started going to church as a teenager. My mom made me start going to church. I didn't want to. It wasn't in my plans as a middle school student, but my mom made me go. But my mom worked afternoon shift. And so after a little while, not too long, she stopped going. She was taking me. She stopped going, but I kept going. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be real honest with you. Part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason I kept going, cute girls. Amen. Seriously. We had cute girls. Thank God for cute girls in youth groups, right? That's part of the reason I kept going. And I'm so glad that I did. I'm glad we had cute girls in our youth group. I don't know if I would have kept going. You know, again, there's no wrong reason to go. And I want people, when they come here, to feel welcome. I want them to feel, you know, like we care about them. And part of the reason, and part of the thing that we're doing to address that, we're starting, we're starting a new hospitality ministry where we'll have greeters. And they'll wear a name badge. It'll say, you know, how can I help you, or something to that effect. We're getting ready to have those done soon. And we're going to have a greeter ministry. And it's so important. I think this is going to be one of the most important ministries. Church. We train people and have them in place. You know, so when people come, we're there to welcome them. We're there to answer their questions. We're there to let them know how much we love our church. But hospitality is not the greeter's job. It's all of our job. We need to be intentional about seeing new people and going up and introducing ourselves. Welcome them. Our task is to help them feel welcome and wanted. And we have a lot of nice people. That shouldn't be hard for us to do at all. But we're going to have greeters. That's going to be their job. And so I want to tell you this. They're going to be wearing these name badges. That's so visitors can know who they can turn to and look to for questions and for answers. But it's also to let us know, is there someone out there and they're wearing a name badge? You know, they're on duty that week. They're serving as a greeter that week. Please do not go up and have a 30-minute conversation with them because they're on duty. They have a job to do. I'm not saying by them and don't, you know, make eye contact, act like they have the plague or something, but just avoid the long conversation. Catch up with them another time. You know, it's good to catch up with our friends. There's nothing wrong with that. But please respect the fact that they got a job to do. Say hi to them and do their job. One of the things that they're going to do is they're going to take visitors to our welcome center. At the welcome center, we're going to have a red bag. And in that bag, there's going to be a mug and some coffee and a little bit of information about the church, and we're going to give that to the visitors. Now, is that gift to make them say, this is the church for us? You know, probably not. Okay, it's not going to be car keys in there. There's not, you know, a new car, new boat or something. It's going to be a cup of coffee, you know, a mug and some coffee. The real purpose of that, it's a gift to say thank you. We're glad you're here. But it's a red bag. Look around. Do you see a lot of red in here? Other than people are wearing, you know, Cardinal fans or whatever. You know. A red bag's going to stand out. And when you see a red bag, you know, hey, that's a first-time visitor. I'm going to go say hi to them. You understand that? We want that to stand. We want to go say, we want to make them feel welcome. We want to make sure they're welcome, and we know they know that they're wanted and welcome here. And so we need your help with that. And it's just, you know, they don't have a red bag. If you see someone you don't know, go and talk to them. Introduce yourself. Don't say this. Don't say, are you new here? Because that can create some really awkward situations. I know, I've done that before. And it's really embarrassing when the pastor say, you know, are you new here? No, I've been a member here for 15 years. Oh, my bad. Yeah, sorry. Kind of kills the conversation. So don't say, are you new here? Say, we haven't had the opportunity to meet yet. Or let me introduce myself. Something like that. Don't put them on the spot. Just go up and welcome them. And let them know they are welcome and wanted here. That will become very soon, this new greeter ministry. After the first of the year, we're going to have a new discipleship class series called Journey. And this is still in development. This isn't all written in stone, but I just want to kind of give you an idea of what we're looking at and thinking of. It'll be kind of a four-section class. And the first part will be kind of what we believe as Christians. All right? And the importance of spiritual disciplines. We don't call them that, but we look at the habits of reading the Bible and prayer and worship and those things. The second section of the class will be membership. What do we believe as Nazarenes? You know, how many of you have ever been asked, what's a Nazarene? Anybody? Yeah. Okay? We'll help. Sometimes people come here, they don't necessarily have a connection to the Church of Nazarene, but they just see us here, they come, or they're invited by someone, they have no idea. So the membership class, an opportunity for them to, okay, this is what we believe. This is what the kind of stands we take. This is what we think, you know, about God's word and everything else. And there's no obligation. If anybody takes the membership class, they're not locked into membership, you know, they can take it, and at the end, they'll have the opportunity to join the church, but there's no obligation. We want people to understand that and help them grow in their faith. And then the third section of that would be spiritual gifts and how God has shaped us and our personality and how that works. And then the last part would be ministry focus, deploying them. Giving them an opportunity to serve. And that's what we want to focus on. So that class series, the journey, will start sometime after the first of the year. And so I just want to share these things with you. There are things that we have that we're working on and putting together because we want to be the church that God has called us to be. We want to be effective in connecting. You know, this fall, some small groups, connect groups stop for the summer, but in the fall they start up again. If you're not of a connect group, I want to challenge you, encourage you to check them out. It's a great opportunity. It's a great place to connect with other believers and have, again, sometimes we need one another. And sometimes a small group, man, it can be a great place for just sharing the burdens and the things that we're struggling with. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ who can help carry that burden and pray for us and help us. And so we want to just be aware of those different things. So how do we grow? Instruction, involvement, influence, and investment. Devoting ourselves to these things. Today we're talking about growth. Devoting ourselves to God's word. You know, that last part of Peter's, that passage we looked at in 2 Peter. Last sentence of that reads, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The word there literally translates delicious. The Lord is delicious. Man, that's what I want a relationship with God to be like. I want to have a delicious relationship with God. I love Mexican food. I love El Dorado Express right down the road here by Lake Point on Sundays. But man, you got to go there sometime. I go there at least once a week. It is great. I crave that food. It is so good. The Mexican style tacos, oh, they're awesome. I crave that. I want to crave God more than I crave tacos. Or whatever else. It's football season. Football's back. I'm so happy. This is my favorite time of year. I love watching football. My relationship with God, I want to crave him more. And that's what God wants for us. God wants us to crave him, to spurn, to get rid of those things that hold us back, any form of wickedness that gets in our way of our relationship with him. He wants to get rid of that, and then he wants us to yearn for him. To not just go through the motions, to not just, you know, check off our spiritual to-do list, like, okay, I read a passage today. God wants us to yearn for him. And that is what we need to do. We are going to grow, and that's true of us personally, and that's true of us corporately as a congregation. We need to yearn for more of him. Growth is a requirement. And this is how God, and through his word, gives us instruction on how we can grow. I pray that each of us will spurn wickedness, anything in our lives that comes between us and God, and that we will yearn for more of him, that we will truly see how delicious the Lord is, and that we will serve him and follow him. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that gives us instruction. I thank you for the fact that we don't have to do this on our own. Lord, this is hard. It's hard to live this out at times. And the truth is, Father, we need you. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to be able to do it. And we need one another. So thank you, Father God, for your word that gives us the instruction that we need. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will be committed in our own personal lives to grow in you, to yearn for you, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, you will do mighty and great things. Thank you so much. We love you, and we ask this in your holy name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing in just a moment. And as we're singing, if God has spoken to you this morning about anything, but perhaps he's spoken to you about something in your life that I just need to get rid of that. I need to be done with that once and for all. If God has spoken to you, just be obedient to him. Or maybe God has spoken to you about the yearning in your life. Maybe there's a lot of yearning for different things, but you realize if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God, that, man, I don't yearn for the things of God the way I ought to or the way I used to. And this morning, the Holy Spirit's inviting you to come. Just make that right. And so as we sing, if you want to come and pray, the altars are open. And after we're done singing, I'll close us in prayer and we'll be dismissed. But if there's anything in your life you need to spurn, come do it. If there's anything, if you need to yearn, you need to yearn for more of God and the things of God in your life, come and make a commitment to him this morning to do that. Come as we pray. Let's sing together.